Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another opportunity to get together and study His Word. I believe I have on the line with me Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G.?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
Good to have you on tonight. Also believe I have on the line my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. Are you there, sir?
We're here.
Amen. Amen. We are grateful to be able to study the Word one more time. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer and get right into it. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege. Another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G. and Dr. G., we're still on a high from the anniversary service on this past Sunday. We had a great time. Our new birth blessed us, and Dr. G., powerful word. It was just an awesome time, and it's good to be able to celebrate what God has done.
Amen.
So we're in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, and on last week, we were studying about just some of the things of the signs of the end times, the times when the hand of God's grace would be withdrawn, and some of the attitudes, some of the personalities, some of the false prophets, some of the deceivers of this world, and how they will begin to behave. And we were contrasting, Sheila G., some of the things that the political and religious leaders of today are doing, and how we, through studying, being humble enough to study the Word of God, can be aware and not led astray by some of those things that these false prophets and deceivers are doing. And a lot of them are generating hate and division across the globe, and God is talking about in His Word that these things are going to happen and going to get worse and worse, and that at the end, when, like I said, the hand of grace is withdrawn, or this dispensational period of time where God has a period where people are saved by grace through faith, that period will come to an end. And this particular chapter talks about how that's going to take some people by surprise, and that they're going to have their run or their party come to an end. But they're partying hardy right now because they feel that they have nobody to answer to. They feel like they're in power, and you know they are God. God's talking about how this is going to come to end. So let's go to the 24th chapter, and we want to go in on. I want to go back to the 14th verse, where it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached." This is Matthew 24:14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So the role of the church is not to be worried about when the end is coming, but the role of the church is to stay active and to be involved in preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We can't get caught up in what the false prophets are going to say, what the haters are going to say, what the news is this day, the news is that day. But we need to be consistent in preaching this this gospel of the kingdom and being witnesses to every nation or everyone we come in contact with. Because the end is coming. We do know that. We just don't know when. And so we shouldn't be swayed one way or another, but just continue to preach this gospel. And when we do that, what will happen is, whether it's in our lifetime or someone else's lifetime, we would have played the role that God wanted us to play, and that at the end we would be able to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, that we've been faithful over a few things." And that He would make a ruler over many, and so we have to play that fine line of making sure that we are continuing to preach the gospel. COG.
Amen. And as you talk about that, there's two words that stick to my mind, and that is stay focused. It means that we have to, regardless of what's going on, or the evil, or the false prophets, or the negativity, the division, the hatred that's coming across, we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused on God. We have to stay focused on God's message. We have to stay focused on God's word. Because if we don't, then you're right. We'll look at the situation, and then we won't be able to endure, because our fleshly eye will get our minds to thinking. We won't be able to renew our minds to thinking that this is it. It's not worth it. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the effort. So this scripture is saying, stay focused. Stay focused on me.
Mm-hmm.
Stay focused on the good news. Stay focused on the goodness of the Lord. Stay focused on that message of drawing others, so that you can be so. One, by doing that, it helps us to maintain a positive attitude, and it gives you hope. Then you can have hope. Because if you don't have the Lord, I don't know how you can make without the Lord. Because if you look at the situation and you don't have hope, then everybody will just want to say, okay, you know what, Lord, just come back today. But by staying focused on God's word, staying focused on the good news, telling others about the Lord, that's where we put our energy, that's where we put our strength, and that's what will help us to endure to the end.
And that is so critical, because the period of time is going to be so brutal. If we drop down to verse 22, it says, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And Dr. G, in verse 24, it says, "For there shall be arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And so it seems like what Sheila G was saying, Dr. G, is that, you know, people will get discouraged and they wouldn't have hope, and they end up believing anything and anybody to a point where they get deceived to lose their salvation because they didn't know God, they didn't know the Word, and these false prophets and false Christs, they come with signs and wonders, a gimmick here, a gimmick there, and if you don't know God, then those people will be deceived into following something that's going to cost them their salvation. Dr. G?
Well, you're right, and it's interesting because my employee today brought up the conversation of tithing. Church mm-hmm. that he goes to, the pastor there, he teaches that all you have to do is tithe, and you can have whatever you want. And he was sharing with me that people have taken that way of thinking, and people, you know, who mm-hmm. can't afford luxury cars have gone out buying these expensive cars.
Wow.
Them repossessed.
Mm.
And, you know, he was sharing that he was setting up a blog to write on it about the real thing of tithing, that, you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
about all
mm-hmm.
you've got to do is tithe and that's it.
Right.
And he and I got into a conversation, and, you know, you talk about false prophets, and
right,
you're
right.
Right. People take things out of context, and you know
mm-hmm.
they take these preachers and these leaders are saying, just like in the political arena, you know, this back and forth stuff,
right?
And
right.
Not careful, you know, you'll get pulled down into thinking and believing all the mess that's going
mm-hmm.
on. And just like I shared with my employee, you know, you've got to do more than just, you know, you tithe and then you know, folk want to wait on the Lord to do everything else. No, you've got
mm-hmm,
to have
mm-hmm.
you've got to have a job to pay for the car, and then you've got to be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where is the good common sense that God gives us to, you
right.
know, not take things of what people say? And that's why it's important that we get into that Word and get a good
yes.
understanding of what it is that the Lord wants us to see. And, you know, we're being led. I mean, people are already being led astray. And it,
mm-hmm.
it kills me how people get so caught up on what their pastors say. You know, I tell folks, look,
mm-hmm.
check what I'm telling you by the Word.
Right.
And if it's
there
not
go.
Right, come back to me.
There
let's
you
sit
go.
Down.
Amen.
And I'm praying all the time, Lord, don't let me, you know, lead folk astray out of anything
right.
that
right.
I share with people. You know, I don't know everything. I'm still
mm-hmm.
getting better every day. Every time I get into that Word, I'm learning more. So, you know, don't go on what I say. Go on what the Word says.
Amen.
Amen, and it's so critical, and I can't stress it enough that you got to get in the Word, and you got to allow the Spirit to minister and to give you the clarity of the Word, because it's going to be a shame for all the name it claim it, all the this doctrine, that doctrine, folk, all the watch this sign, watch this, you know, watch me pick this snake up and watch me defy death this way. And all of those things are signs and wonders. They even had Sheila G. signs and wonders back in Moses' day
with
you know, serpents and this sorcery
mm-hmm.
and this sorcery. And, you know, signs and wonders are one thing, but the true and the living God is another thing. And it's
right.
like, you know, the enemy has power, but he doesn't have all power. And,
oh,
and
right.
you have to understand that, you know, it might you You might have false prophets and teachers that can fake the funk for a little while, but eventually it's going to show its true colors, Sheila G.
Amen. And, you know, as you were saying that, it reminded me of, it was just a couple of years ago when there was some preacher or pastor or somebody that's saying that the world was going to come to end to an end on a
mm-hmm.
certain day.
Mm-hmm. And, send
me money. That's what did you say? Who was it?
And they were saying, send me money. It's like, well, if the world's coming to end, why are we sending you money?
Right.
Because the money's not going to do you good.
Money.
And people were still sending money. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
They were sending money. And he's like, it's going to be this. And they actually gave, I think he actually gave a day. And people followed that, right? People were sending money. People were believing that. And that's how they're being misled, because they're trusting man. This is just a man. And man only has a limited amount of knowledge. We don't even use our full brain capacity. So to believe
right.
that he would know more than God when the world was going to end, then, and that's how people, like you said, are being led. That is a true false prophet. And then the day came, it was like, okay, it didn't end, and those people couldn't get their money back.
And you're not
back.
Getting your money back.
Right. I forgot.
Oh, my God.
What his excuse was as to why it didn't happen. It was something weird.
Right. But in every year you hear these things, and you know, we're gonna read down some more. Let's go to verse 26. Behold, I have told you before. In other words, this gospel and this word is going to be preached, so people will have the opportunity to know the truth. And in verse 26, Matthew 24, verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. So it's going to be as plain as this is what God is saying. It's going to be so plain to know that God has come. It's going to be like when you know you see vultures flying in the air, something is dead.
Right.
And you don't have to see the dead carcass to know that something's dead when you see the vultures flying around. And so what God
right.
is saying is going to be as plain as that. That's going to be the understanding for those who are not raptured, those who miss the rapture of the church out of this world. It's going to be that plain, and people will know that, oh, crap. Can I say that word on the radio?
Yes, you can.
it's going to be, oh, crap, I messed up. It's going to be mm-hmm. that plain as when you drive down the road and you see these vultures flying around, you don't have to see the carcass to know something's died. And
right.
so this is how plain it's going to be when Christ comes back and raptures the church. There are going to be people that you knew were Christians that are going to be gone. So in other
right.
words, it's going to be that plain. It's like you're going to come home, your wife and kids are going to be gone, and you're going to be like, oh, man, I've missed it. There are going to be people at your job that are going to be gone, and you'll be like, oh, man, I missed it. And it's just going to be just that plain. And so in that verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. So in other words, all over the world, there's gonna know that the Son of Man has come. And the example was wherever the carcass, this is verse 28, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And in verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So it's going to be a bad situation. Once people realize, oh, I missed the boat, it's and we'll read later on in this chapter, it's going to be like when Noah was preaching. I believe it was close to 100 years. I don't want to misquote it, but it was over 100 years that Noah preached the same message, and the message was it was going to rain.
Right.
It never rained on that earth. And he was preaching, it's going to rain. It's the same thing with the church. We're preaching Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. We're preaching that same message, Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. And just like in the days of Noah, where people rolled their eyes like, yeah, right. When that first drop of rain smacked them in the head, boop, they was like, oh, crap, it is going to rain. And Sheila G., it's going to be just like when you see those vultures, you know something's died. When the church is raptured out of the church, folks are going to know, oh, mess, I have missed out, Sheila G.
Yeah, it's going to be like that book. What was it called? Left Behind?
Left Behind.
They're going to be like, oh, I got left behind. And it's, you know, people have been telling you. And the reason they're going to know they got left behind and they missed it is because the word is being taught. The opportunity is there. God gives us a choice, and it's choose you this day who you're going to serve. And so it's not like a type of thing, well, how come I didn't know, or how come nobody told me? You chose not to go to follow Christ. You chose not to believe in Him. You chose not to be obedient to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So by you choosing to be self-gratifying, you chose to be left behind.
Amen.
Dr. G?
Well, you know, that goes in line with what I was trying to say on Sunday, is that, you know, people choose to be what they are. And it's sad because although we're still preaching, we're still teaching, you know, you've got just a handful that really take this thing serious enough to be on the call, to get into the Word, to be on the prayer lines, to do the things that we ought to be doing to make preparations for when the Lord does come. And because it is a choice, as you've already said, you know, when that time comes where the Lord takes the church on home, it's going to be a sad day.
Amen.
But people don't really believe it. You know, it's almost as if things have got to come full swing before they'll wake up. And then at that point, it's too late.
Yeah, I can only imagine the reputation that Noah had when he was talking about, I'm building a boat and it's going to float on water. And told people it's going to rain. I'm sure he got all kind of eyes rolled. People was laughing under their breath, throwing stuff at him, making jokes. And he probably was on, you know, every version of what the laugh shows were back then. And you know, called him whatever until that first drop of rain hit Sheila.
Right.
And those clouds start forming. And that first drop of rain and thunder clap.
Yeah.
I know it was a whole lot of folk that was wishing they could get and escape it. But, you know, that's the way it's going to be when the church is gone and folk are still there and they're going to realize, wow, we had an opportunity. Mm-hmm. We made the wrong choice. It's going to be a sad day. And in that, Sheila G., that should give us compassion as a church to not want to see someone in that situation. That should be our drive. That should be our motivation to, you know, we know what the truth is, that we should want to keep preaching that sermon, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, so that, that whosoever will won't be lost, Sheila G.
Amen. And that is the challenge of leadership in the church, particularly as a pastor, because people will frustrate you.
Yes,
and if
will.
You just stick to how you feel as a human, you could conceivably just say, well, fine, all y'all go to hell then. But
exactly.
Amen. Not my will.
But because you have the compassion and it's not your will, as a pastor, you have to have that compassion that, no, I don't want people to perish. So even though it's not the popular thing to say, even though it's not something that people want to hear, I have to tell them, you got to turn away from your wicked ways.
Amen.
You got to believe in the Lord. You got to trust in God. You got to study His Word. You got to have a prayer life, because as a pastor, as a leader, I don't want you to be left behind, because I stand before judgment. I don't want the Lord to say, I called you to do this mission. You got cute, and you were like, you know what? They hurt my feelings. But to be a true pastor, you have to have that thick skin and that love and compassion at the same time.
Amen.
And Dr. G, it seems like sometimes that message that we preach, Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, you can almost sometimes see the people's eyes roll. Oh, yeah, all right, here we go. It's like they don't understand this is the only message that's coming. There's nothing else. There's no other salvation coming after this. And this is what I tell people. There's nothing else coming. I mean, it's like being on the platform after you missed the train, train. There's nothing else coming. Or standing at the bus, there's nothing else coming. And so Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again, that's the only thing that's coming to save this world. Now, if you miss that, I don't know what to tell you, Dr. G, but it seems like the world has rolled their eyes at this. Maybe it's not exciting enough. Maybe it's not complicated enough. Maybe it doesn't have enough bells and whistles and those type of things. But this is the way God chose to save this world, Dr. G.
Amen. You're right. And I've found that what I'm getting are people that have been hurt by other pastors and churches. And so I'm using that as a platform to help win souls to Christ, to try to, you know, get them to refocus themselves, because a lot of folk are just, because they've been hurt by preachers and, like we said, false leaders, you know, they've just given up on the church, God, and everything else. And so when you do finally get them in the church, it's an opportunity to try to persuade again in a different sort of way. But, you know, I was just sitting here thinking that now you would think that, I'm going back to Noah, you know, that when those fools saw the animals come two by two going into the ark, been a sign of death. But they were still hardened hearts to the end.
Having too much fun.
Yeah. You could talk a whole lot about that story. It's just, but in that context, you can also imagine, you know, the difficulty of continuing to preach that message for so long, you know.
Right.
I know it was over 100 years where he's still preaching the same message, you know, and building a boat on dirt, you know, on dry land. And sometimes it feels like that when you're pastoring. It feels like you're trying to build something on dry land, waiting for the Lord to float it. And sometimes you hear people laughing, people talking, people snickering under their breath. He's still preaching that message, Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, coming again. and, you know, making mockery as they go by, Sheila G. go ahead.
Well, just like this is called There's Nothing New Under the Sun, because it is the same message. It's the same message that John the Baptist was saying. You know, if you look at it, it's the same message that Paul was saying. It's the same message in Acts. You know, it's the same message. But, you know, God presents it in so many different ways. That's why you don't have an excuse not to believe. Because he's shown things. He's used various vehicles, even from modern day to biblical days. It is the same message, and it's the same on the same basis. So you have no excuses for why you can't receive it.
Yeah, yes, they do. They're just lazy.
Well, they want to have fun.
They don't want it. And the thing for us is that when they get like that, and then it makes us feel that what we're doing is really not worth it, and we have caution ourselves not to fall into that trap, because that's the trap of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He will want to bring us down, and that's why we have to regroup, go back and say, all right, Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
Right.
Because those types of attitudes and the mind mindset of our folk will get you to a point where you just say, what's the use?
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
at some point you feel like throwing in the towel. But if you're
yep.
true, you're calling, the Lord is just not going to let you do that.
No.
Amen.
So let's go back and read down from verse 30, Matthew 24, verse 30. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven in the power of a great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, he know that summer is nigh. So in other words, he's saying, you know, these things are going to happen. And just like you can look at a tree, a fig tree, and look at its branch and know that the fruit is getting ready to come. Or you can look at its leaves and you can know summer's getting ready to come. In verse 33 it says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And this is I love this scripture because I tell people, you don't know what's outside that door when you leave out wherever you are, wherever you call home. You have no idea. And if you're not prayed up, if you're not in the Word, if you haven't gotten under the ark of safety with God, the enemy is crouching at your door, waiting to jump on you. There's so many things that we don't see in the spirit realm that you got to be careful. Amen.
Yes.
Before you go out that door, we need to be thankful that God will bless our going out and our coming in. Because there every day there's a moment in our lives where we walk between life and death.
Yes.
Nobody knows the end day. Nobody knows the last breath they're gonna take. So every day when we walk out of that door, it could be the last day.
Amen.
And so we have to be ready to walk out our door for the last time. Lord have mercy. Somebody's going to get that in a second. Good grace of the Lord. And if it is our last day, then we need to be ready, like this thing saying that the end is nigh, that the sign of Christ is coming back. The Bible says everybody's not going to die, but some folk going to be alive, and they're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But we need to be ready for either way. And so when in that verse 33, it says that it is near even at the doors. And then verse 34, it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And that's the difficult part with Noah preaching that sermon for 120 years. It's not going to occur until God is ready. These things have to be fulfilled. Every nation has to have an opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the good news. And then once every nation has had the opportunity to hear the good news, the signs will be gathering. The things that are in this world will be coming to pass, and they'll be getting worse and worse, and you'll be able to see it. But it's not going to come to the end until all of the prophecies of God are fulfilled and everything is in line. And what he says in verse 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So in other words, everything that's written in the Word, every prophecy, every fulfillment of the prophecy will have to come to pass. Even Jesus, when he was being baptized by John, he said, "Suffer to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, you got to fulfill what the Word says. And so, when all of those things have come to pass, he said, "You know, generations shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away." But my word shall not pass away. In other words, God's word is true and it's going to stand. All the false prophets are going to be proven to be liars. All the naysayers are going to be proven liars, just like he told Noah to build the ark and that rain was coming. And, you know, through those 100-plus years of all that, the prophecy came true. And it's going to come through come through and come true. And God's word is true, and it won't and it will not pass away. And if we go down to verse 36, but of that day and hour, and this is what's so funny, what we were talking about earlier, Sheila G, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only.
That's
own
right.
Father only. But of that
right.
day and hour, knoweth no man. So all of these false prophets, all these false teachers, all of these, I call them pimps. They're pimping the gospel that swear they know something.
Right.
They don't know. Only the Father knows. So that's the thing is for us to be ready, because we never know when the last
right.
day we're going to leave out our door. Sheila G.
That's, amen. It made me think about years ago, Pastor was teaching a Bible study lesson. And the lesson that he taught, the topic that particular night was, if you knew today that Friday, it was like on a Thursday or something, or if you knew today that on Sunday the Lord was coming back, what would you do between now and then? And it was really, really interesting, the very responses, because then it was like, oh, because I know it's Sunday, then everybody talked about how they would get their house in order, and they would do this, and they would take care of this, and make sure. If it came on CNN and the Lord appeared on everybody's television across the world at the same time and said, and it is God, the Spirit of God himself all at once said, I'm coming back, the world's coming to an end on Sunday, then you know then all of a sudden everybody would get it straight. But they would only be getting, it would still be for self.
Right.
It would not be because
right.
they believed out of faith. It would be because
right.
they believed of what they saw and what quote unquote happened,
mm-hmm.
and out of fear, then they will follow it. But it was a very interesting question, Bible study lesson, and that is why
mm-hmm.
God, he is the only one that knows. Because if he told us that okay, a week from now, some people would probably go and act crazy, and that's
mm-hmm.
why it came too, because some people, when you were putting on perspective, they were saying some people
mm-hmm.
would just party like crazy
until the very
yeah. last minute, and then say, okay,
sort,
yeah, Lord.
Sort of like Fat Tuesday. Sort of like Fat Tuesday's coming up, where everybody's going to start fasting after Fat
right.
Tuesday, where everybody goes out drunk and gets smashed. And then after that,
right.
they start fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, right, so it's the same thing. So God wants us to trust him by faith.
Amen.
That's why we don't know when,
nope.
and we're not supposed to know. He wants you to live every single day.
Thank you.
Like
that's
you said,
right.
as when you're walking out that door, you don't know when you're coming back. I mean, I was coming home today, and I was just going through, like, the side road, Shady Glen, and it's like a neighborhood, and somebody was too lazy to wait and stand behind the car. So they crossed over the median, and as they were coming over the hill, I was there,
mm-hmm.
and just so happened to have me slow down. Otherwise, it would have been a head-on collision, and there wouldn't have been a thing
wow.
I could do. So that's how close
wow.
we
yeah.
are to death every single day,
that's
and
right.
we just take it for granted.
Amen.
And God doesn't want us to take it for granted, but if he were to let us know, okay, when these three things happen, this is when you know
mm-hmm.
I'm coming back, then everybody would say, okay, the first thing happened. Okay, the second thing happened. I'm still going to do me. I'm going
right,
to do me.
Right, right.
Do me. Oh, well, since the third thing is about to happen, let me, okay, Lord, now I believe you. But again, it's not out of faith. It's not out of trusting him,
right.
which is why only God knows.
Amen. There was a song, I believe it was Prince wrote it. It was a party like it's 1999.
Yeah.
When everybody thought that in 2000 the world was going to come to
right.
an end, and he made a lot of money on that song.
Yeah.
And people were partying like it was 1999, thinking it was going to be the end of the world. And,
yep.
It's similar to that, but in verse 37, when we were talking about Noah, and this is a reference to that, Matthew 24, verse 37, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And verse 38 says, for as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Dr. G, I'm going to let you jump in on that.
Well, you know, that's some deep stuff. And to kind of chime in on what Sheila was saying, you know, we're giving, you know, in the Word, just in this chapter alone, we've been giving a sign that the Lord is coming. But the exact date and time, we just don't know. And just like it all happened to Noah, folk are going to be partying, eating, having themselves fall, and going to miss the boat.
Immorality.
And then it's going to be too late.
Amen.
But again, we have to continue to stay focused, do what we're supposed to do, not get caught up in our emotions and our feelings, because the day is coming. And as in that 36, it says, no man knows the hour nor the day. Not even the angels know.
Amen.
And we go on, Sheila G, if we go down to verse 40, and you were talking about that series Left Behind. In verse 40, it says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left.
Yep.
And verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And in verse 42, it says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Amen. And that's exactly what we were talking about, that door. When we walk out that door, you don't know. So you have to live your life for Christ every single day. And you can't live it based off what grandma said, what mama said, or what, because you're not going to get to heaven based off that. You could be sitting right next to your bestie. Now people say, girl, pray for me. You go to church for me, or you take care of it for me. And so they think they're going to ride into heaven on someone else's coattail. That has to be a personal decision between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you try to depend on and try to get in on somebody else's coattail, what's going to happen is what we just saw in the scripture. That person's going to be caught up in the rapture, and you're going to be left behind.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, well, yeah, this is my mama's church, or that's my dad's church, or, you know, that's my aunt's or my sister's church. And, they church, and they do this, and they do this at the church, and church is doing this. And a lot of people, Dr. G, talk church. They talk church.
Yeah.
There's so many people that talk church.
Yeah.
And they used to call them CME, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. I don't even think they do the CME anymore.
Bedside Baptist, don't forget them.
but those are the ones that are going to know enough about God to know that when grandmama and them and everybody and brother and sister gone, they going to know that they done missed out. And they're going to beat the door down trying to get to the church, talking about, where y'all at? Where y'all at? And it's going to be too late.
Amen.
Dr. G?
I mean, I'm just sitting here trying to picture folks. Lord comes back, and new birth going to be locked. Because I plan on being home with the Lord. You know, and it's a sad state of affairs that people don't take advantage of the time that they get to really and seriously think about this. You know, we put everything and everybody, you know, we don't have time for it until it's too late. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then when family members and loved ones pass on, then, you know, we boo-hooing and crying, trying to get into the cast. You know, we want to live. It's too late.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Mama, in that, as you all have already said, you know, we can't get to heaven off of what someone else has done.
That's right.
That's why it's important for us to take the time now and stop playing with it, because we don't know what tomorrow may hold.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G, these next two verses is, but verse 43, but know this,
and this is what I love about the Word of God. God didn't hide this stuff. He put it in the book. But you know what they
say
about
the book,
folks. I'm going to leave it alone. But know this, that if the good man is given an example of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In other words, if he knew when the guy was coming in, he would have stood there and not allowed to get broken up. And
right.
This is one of those colloquial sayings that everybody says in verse 44. And you wonder where the saying came from? Therefore, be ye what? Also ready.
All
he always
ready.
Hears people say that. Be ye also ready.
Yep,
for
man.
Such an
yep.
hour as ye think the Son of Man cometh. And you have to be ready. Sheila G?
Ready. You got to be ready. As soon as your feet hit the floor, you got
thank
to
you,
be ready. You got to thank the Lord. You got to pray the Lord. You got to
okay.
ask him to lead, guide, direct your path. But to keep you, every day I ask the Lord to keep me from evil because I know evil is
mm-hmm.
present. So you have
yeah.
to have that prayer. Protect me. Lead, guide, and also ask him for you to be an ambassador for him. Let me represent you. You have to usher the Lord into your life every single day. Otherwise, we'll walk by flesh and not by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't invite that Spirit into you, then your flesh, you won't be ready because you'll be right,
right.
fleshy. And then all of a sudden, the Lord will come back and it's too late. And so we
Amen.
Have
and
to be ready as if this is our last day because we don't know.
Amen.
And it says, it talks about being wise, and you know the Bible helps us to be wise in the things of God, and so when we look at these next verses, it in verse 45 it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" And then it goes on to say, "Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season." In other words, God has given us assignment. And we are his servant, and we are to be working for him in due season. In other words, when God comes back, we should be willing to give an account of what he's given us to be stewards over.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse 46, it says, "Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." In other words, that's why we got to keep doing. In spite of what, you know, the false prophets say, in spite of what the politicians say, in spite of what
right.
the false teachers say and the haters, we need to be doing what God wants us to do
right.
when he comes back. And then mm-hmm. in verse 47, he says, "Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." So in other words, it's going to be worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of look was on Noah's face when he mm. when he got into that ark. And God
Watch
closed
up.
Them in. But in the end, I know he was like, "Man, I'm glad I listened and did what God wanted me to do, that I didn't build no now see, I'm getting ready to meddle now, and didn't build no shaky ark, didn't
Come
take
on.
No shortcut, didn't perpetrate a fraud, come every other week to build the ark, come every other third Sunday or every other when I felt like coming."
Hello.
I'm going to stop
Hello.
Meddling.
Hello.
Stop meddling. But people, this is what people do. God has given you an assignment. You've been called to preach. You ain't halfway preaching. You've been called to teach. You ain't halfway teaching. You've been called to be a leader. You've been called to be a part of music ministry, a part of teaching ministry, part of usher ministry. And you're faking the funk. And,
right.
and Sheila, I'm going to meddle a little bit more. But when the Lord comes, and you're not standing on your post, Lord have mercy. Or you're not
Amen.
Where you're supposed to be. I'm
Amen.
Not predicting anything, but you might be left behind.
You might be
Sheila left behind. You're stuck raggedy.
And
you're stuck,
you know, even
you're,
if,
go ahead.
Even if you're not, you know, called to be a minister or called to be that, but God has asked every last one of us to go and spread the good news.
Be a servant.
So we are all supposed to be servants for the Lord, not servants for ourselves, not servants when we feel like it.
Thank you.
We are supposed to be servants for the Lord. We're supposed
Amen.
To by live, not lip service, by the way we live, by the way we act, draw others to Christ. And like you said, if God comes back and we're not doing that, and we're just like, okay, I'll give a little dab of you, I'll give you a little of this here, Lord,
this,
a little bit of that. And we're like, okay, I want this set of friends. Because like in Noah's case, if he wanted to be popular, he could have like one day been with his family
right.
and his kids, okay, build an ark, but now I'm going to go to happy hour and hang out with all these people. In the Bible, in that scripture, in Genesis, mm-hmm. talks about how evil people were.
Yeah.
So he's like, that's why he had to destroy it. So he could have like said, okay, on one hand, I'm going to build the ark, but then on the other hand, I'm going to go party.
There you go. Perfect example.
Right. He has
well,
to say
one foot in the church and one foot on a banana peel.
Exactly.
One foot in the world.
Exactly. You got to be consistent. That's whether you're in leadership position or not.
Amen.
You are to be a servant, because even to be a leader in Christ, you still have to be a servant.
Amen.
Amen. And if you go down to that verse 48, it says, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth coming, and shall, let me go back to verse 47. It says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So the servant that was wise and did as his master instructed him, he will make him ruler over all his goods. Mm-hmm. But the one that didn't, he called him evil. But the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord. And both of them, Dr. G, had the opportunity to serve, which is interesting about this. Both of mm-hmm. them had the opportunity to serve. One became a good servant. One became an evil servant. And in mm-hmm. verse 48 says, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. In other words, I'm not worried about it. I ain't seen him. I'm going to do my thing. In verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunken, in other words, the act of fool, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Oh, my goodness. And in that hour, and in an hour that he is not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, the folks, the false prophets, the ones that are misusing, mistreating, using, abusing people,
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, they love the Lord, lip service, it's going to come a time where the chicken's going to come home to roost, as they were saying.
Right.
And in verse 51, it says, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, judgment day is going to come.
Yeah.
Dr. G.
Well, you know, I was just sitting here thinking that's why the Bible teaches that, you know, many are called, but few are chosen, because to
mm-hmm.
serve in that leadership position, it's a lonely position. It can be a lonely position. And if we're not strong enough in our faith, number one, and then we're focused enough to keep doing what God wants, as just like, you know, the scriptures were saying, you know, we'll go back and hang with the people to, you know, we'll preach
mm-hmm.
those sermons that, you know, we really want folk to, they don't really want folk to hear, because people really don't want to hear it, but we'll go back to doing what the people want. And that
mm-hmm.
is a mistake, because we have to continue to stand strong, forget about what the people, it's a lonely little island that we have to stay on sometimes by ourselves. But like you said, in the end, it's going to be worth it, because all of those that, you know, little hit and miss, the false prophets, the false leaders, all of them are going to be cut down. And we have to understand that, you know, it's going to be worth it at the end. But we have to continue to stay strong and stay focused.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G, again, there's nothing new under the sun. Every generation you can see this, people have given the opportunity to be a servant of God, to be in the family of God. And people just cut their tail. People do what they want. Like you were preaching Sunday, Dr. G, they make choices to be who they want to be. But it's not going to negate the fact that judgment day is coming and weeping and gnashing your teeth and you know, it's a sobering thing to say I might be the only one that's staying on the battlefield,
Everybody else is gone and did their thing, you know. It's going to be worth it in the end. And the songwriter said, you know, I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And you have to sing that song. And sometimes God will test you. God will allow you to get out there and seem like you're the only one on the battlefield. But at the end of the day, you know, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And you know, you want to hear him say, well done. And you want to hear him, you want him to find, Sheila G, you want to be found doing what the Lord. And that's my prayer every day, that I'll be found doing the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. And I say that prayer every day, you know, Lord, that, you know, I want to be found doing the things that, doing things according to your will, that you will be pleased with my life. That's my prayer on a daily basis, that no matter what else is going on, I want to be found. When the Lord comes, I want to be found doing what he has called me to do, serving him. That should be my biggest priority, is when God calls me from labor to reward, that I will be found doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Sheila G, we looked like we took up the whole hour.
It needs to be. It was a good lesson. It was a good lesson. And it had to flow all the way through to the end of that chapter for us to understand exactly what Jesus was saying. And I, too, like you say, every day I pray to the Lord to allow me to be an ambassador for him. And I always say the prayer, you be the pilot. And I always say, thank you, Lord, for even allowing me to be the co-pilot. So I'm acknowledging that him to be in charge of the ship, but I want to be a co-pilot. But I'm thanking you for giving me that opportunity. But let me be an ambassador for you as well, to represent you in everything that I do. And it's important that we do that, because, like you said, it can be lonely doing God's work. Sometimes you do have to stand alone, but God knows that.
Yes,
that's why
does.
He put those scriptures in there. Like, you know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. At the end of Psalm 27, he says, wait on the Lord. And be of good courage.
Be of good courage.
Yeah. There's going to be times where you're going to have to wait, but I want you to be of good courage, because I'm with you always. That's why he puts in there about weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So he gives us those encouraging. All things work together for good, because he knows that some things are going to be funky, some things are going to be horrible. You're going to be alone, but I want you to stay focused. And I don't want you to think that I'm asking you to do the impossible, because things that are impossible with man are possible with me. But he's saying that if you do these things, this is what I want you to be ready for. If you're not, you won't be ready. And if you don't do these things, then you will go and you'll be with those. I'll be back. You won't be ready. You won't be paying attention. And as it is in this last scripture, you're going to be with the hypocrites, where there's going to be weeping. Asking of peace, that point is too late.
It's over with.
So he's given tools to be able to stand and be a servant unto him, to represent him, to draw others. And every single day, don't make it about us, but make it about God, so that when he does come back, or if our life ends before he comes back, we are ready.
Amen. Dr. G, any last comments? You can close us out in prayer. We'll promise next week we'll get some people's comments on this chapter, Dr. G.
Well, to tap in on what Sheila was saying, you know, we have to remember, especially, you know, during those moments, and that's why the Lord allows us to go through all that we go through as a reminder of who brought us through. And, you know, that old saying, that song that we sing, that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Those moments when it looked like we are by ourselves and the loneliness comes, then we can go back and think about his goodness and everything that he's done for us.
Amen.
And realize that, you know, it's all been worth it.
Right.
And so that as we, you know, we get up each day, yes, pray, Lord, put your arms of protection around me. Take me through another day. You know, let me be that servant that you want.
Amen.
And let us remember You know, we have to be careful even when we go out to work. And that's where the enemy is going to try to bring us down. But we have to remember that we belong to the king. We're one of the king's kids.
That's right.
And God will put his protective arm around us. So we have to be careful in what we say, how we say it, how we conduct our manner in which we live our lives, even outside the home, because we affect a lot of people on our jobs that we don't think we do.
Amen.
So with that, we're going to ask that folk would bow their heads and close their eyes. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for another evening that we've been able to get into your word. Lord, we thank you for this chapter, just giving us a glimpse of what it's going to be like before. Father, we pray that we'll take this word seriously, Lord, and apply it to our lives and get in a hurry to live one day at a time. Lord, we thank you for being in our life. We thank you for what we've had to go through. And, Lord, truly, when we think of the goodness of Jesus and everything that he's done for us, and then, Lord, when we think about when you come back and how you'll say, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Father, it will all be worth it. Lord, we thank you and we pray. We ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us for tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
God bless.